Amen. Take the Word of God this morning, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 3. We had a great time this morning in the evangelist class and had a good time with the young men there and pray that it was an encouragement to them. I want to thank Dr. Bill for the opportunity to come and preach this morning. I want to thank him for the graciousness and kindness that has already been shown to our family and the wonderful basket in our room last night and just the great accommodations. And I just look forward to being here with you for the next couple of days and being a blessing to you, and most importantly, being a blessing to you from the Lord's Word this morning. Exodus chapter number 3, and I want to begin reading in verse number 11. We will skip some things there in verse number 3. Of course, the context here is the burning bush, Moses' call, when God calls to him out of the burning bush, and we see in the first part of chapter number 3, we see Moses' call, and then we see the compassion of God in verse number 8. He says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God is a merciful God, is He not? And He had compassion on His people, and we see that there in verse number 8. And then in verse number 10, we see the commission of Moses. He says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. But what I want us to focus our thoughts on this morning and focus our eyes on this morning begins in verse number 12. So if you have it, Exodus 3, verse number 12, I don't know if you normally do, but I would ask you this morning, if you are physically able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll begin in verse number 12 and read down a few verses just by way of introduction this morning. The Bible says, and He said, certainly I will be with thee. And that is the message this morning. That's the title of the message. If God gives you a call, and we talked about this a little bit in with the evangelist majors this morning, if God gives you a call, He will certainly be with you. You know, you've heard the old phrase, where God guides, He provides. Now, you don't find that in the Scriptures. You don't find that specific phrase. But the truth and the principle of that phrase is borne out all throughout Scriptures. And we're going to see it right here in Exodus chapter 3 this morning. He said, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now, by the way, it's not a bad thing, and we'll speak about this in just a moment. It's not a bad thing when God calls us to maybe have some questions and concerns. I told the young men this morning, it is a wonderful place when we get to the point where we are confident that we are nothing. Because that is the place where we can be confident that God is everything. When we get to the point where we're confident that we are nothing, then we have arrived at the point where we can be confident that God is everything. And so Moses has some questions here, and we understand that he's going to continue to doubt maybe a little bit more than he should. But he has some questions. He said, when I come to the people and they ask me, what is His name? What shall I say? And he says, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And so this morning I want to preach you a message entitled, certainly I will be with thee. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help this morning if we could. Father, we sure do love you today. Father, we sure are grateful to be able to be gathered around your word this morning. And Father, these young folks this morning, Father, the young men in the class this morning have already encouraged my heart, and these young folks that are seated in this auditorium this morning, Father, they are a tremendous encouragement to me today. Father, these are the young men and the young ladies who are going to go out and proclaim and speak and give your word. And Father, our nation needs that. Our world needs that. And Father, I pray that you'd help these young people even this morning. There may be some questions in their heart. There may be a young person in this room this morning who's even wondering how they're going to pay their bill this semester. Father, I pray that you would encourage them to know that you're going to be with them. And Father, if you have truly brought them here, if you have truly called them to this place, Father, you're certainly going to be with them. And Father, I commit this passage. I commit that to you this morning. I commit this time to you this morning. And Father, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to give you glory right now for what you're going to do in our hearts in these few moments that we have together this morning. Lord, we love you. Lord, please bless. Please help. May you be glorified and honored in everything we do today, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. I want to give you several things this morning. I'll give you three thoughts. And as I told the young men in the evangelist class, I like to preach with an outline. So if you take notes this morning, I'll try to be very helpful in helping you to take notes and with your outline this morning. But primarily, I want to be an encouragement to you. As I said, there may be some young folks in here this morning, maybe some that are questioning whether they're going to be able to pay their bill. They're questioning maybe exactly what God wants you to do with your life, or maybe even have some concerns. Lord, I know what you've called me to. I know what you want me to do, but Lord, I'm not exactly sure how that's going to happen. And young person this morning, we have questions, and we may not know how things are going to happen, but it's a wonderful truth to understand that we don't see the end, but God does. We don't see how He's going to work all of it out. We don't see the end from the beginning, but God does. God can see the end from the beginning, and He very simply asks us to trust Him. He very, very simply asks us to do what He has called us to do. We leave the results with Him, and we just take care of our responsibilities. We leave the increase to Him, and we just take care of doing exactly what He has called us to do. So I want us to see, first of all, this morning, if you're taking notes, or even if you're not, if you're taking mental notes, I want you to see Roman number 1 this morning. I want you to see the concerns presented. The concerns presented. Because Moses has some concerns. When God comes to him in the burning bush, he has some concerns. You know, Moses' life, the life of Moses, is broken up into pretty distinct and succinct 40-year periods. And 40 years, he's there in the palace, and he's being prepared there. And we know after that 40 years that he identifies himself with his people, the Hebrew people, his brethren. He could have chosen to stay in the palace. He could have chosen to stay there with the pleasures of Egypt. But the book of Hebrews tells us that he refused all of that and that he identified himself with God's people. Now, this isn't the message this morning, but boy, that's a wonderful testimony to the parents of Moses, is it not? His parents only had him for a few years, Amram and Jochebed, they only had him, we don't know exactly how many years, but just long enough to wean him and to get him prepared to go to the palace. And then he went. And what a testimony that after all of those years in the palace, that he still identified with the God of his mom and dad. And so moms and dads this morning, or even you young people, one day you'll be a mom or a dad. Listen, what a testimony that you have a great responsibility to teach your children the Word of God. And so Moses, after that 40 years, he identifies with his people, the Hebrew, his Hebrew brethren. He goes out one day in Exodus chapter number 2, just a little bit previous to where we're at now, and he sees his brethren being afflicted, being tormented by this Egyptian, and he kills the Egyptian. And we know that. And he buries it in the sand. And then the next day, he sees two of his own brethren wrestling and having a conflict together. And one of his brethren says, "Hey, are you going to kill one of us?" And the Bible says that Moses feared, and he ran away. And so for the next 40 years, God is preparing him there on the backside of the desert, there in Midian. And there after that 40 years, God comes to him in the burning bush. He says, "Moses, I have something for you to do. Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. Moses, I've heard the affliction of my people. Moses, I want you to go bring them out. By the way, Moses, it's time for me to fulfill my promise to my people that I'm going to bring them out of Egypt. I've already fulfilled one of the promises that I've made them a great nation while they were there in Egypt. Now it's time to bring them out. And Moses, you're going to be the man." But when God came to Moses and he gave him the call, he had some concerns. Let's look at a couple concerns here in Exodus 3, if we could. We see, first of all, letter A, the first concern. We see the question of ability. The question of ability. Notice there in verse number 11, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" First of all, he says, who am I to go demand something from Pharaoh? And who am I to go deliver your people out of Egypt? He said, who Am I? The question of ability. And many of you this morning, when God put the calling on your life to do something, whether it was the call to be a pastor, the call, and maybe some of you in this morning, you're searching for God's call. You're still not sure what God wants you to do. You're here at Bible college and you know God wants you here, but you're not exactly sure the direction and the path that He wants you to take, but you know this is where He wants you to be right now. And at that moment, when God put that call on your life to be a pastor or to be a missionary or to be an evangelist, you may have said, "Who am I?" And that's an okay place to be. And that's a great place to be because the truth is, we are nothing. And our power and our strength is derived from the One who called us. And so we see the first question, the question of ability. By the way, in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 5, the Bible tells us very clearly that God gives grace to the humble. And so when a person, even when God is called, and we know that if God calls, He's going to provide, He's going to supply. But even when we have concerns and we come before God with humility and say, "God, who am I? Who am I to do this? Who am I to go plant a church? Who am I to go to a city that I've never been to before and to plant a church? Who am I?" You're the One I've called. That's who you are. You're the One who I want to empower. That's who you are. And so we see the first concern. We see the question of ability. Who am I? But we see a second question. Letter B, we see the question of authority. The question of authority. We see, first of all, the question of ability, who am I? But then we see the question of authority. In verse number 13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is His name? What shall I say unto them?" You see, Moses wanted to know, if I'm going to go to Pharaoh and if I'm going to go tell him that I'm going to take all of his slaves and all of his workers away from him, if I'm going to go do that, I have to have some authority behind me. I have to be able to go with authority. And young folks, this morning, if God has given you a call, He has given you a point of authority. Now, if you're just here because mom and dad, now by the way, if you're here because mom and dad want you here, that's okay thing. That's a good thing. If mom and dad said, I want you to go to Bible college for a year or 2 years, that's a great thing. But if you're here and you're working on a degree, maybe in pastoral ministry or in evangelism, and you're only doing it because you felt pressured by someone, then I'll submit to you this morning, you don't have a point of authority because you have made yourself the authority. But if you've been called by God, you have a point of authority. And so He has the question of authority, who is sending me? Verse 14, "And God said unto Moses, This is who is sending you, I am that I am." I am that Jehovah God is sending you. That's who's sending you. And He said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Brethren, children of Israel, do you want to know who's sending me? It is the God of your fathers. It is the I am that I am. It is Jehovah God is sending me. And you have a point of authority. You go out one day, young men, and go out to plant a church, and someone asks you, "Who sent you?" You say, "The Lord Jesus Christ sent me. That is my point of authority. And I'm standing on the Word of God. That is my point of authority." And we have authority. There's no problem questioning. There's no problem having some concerns. But God is going to give us the answers. And He gave Moses the answer. Hey, you have a question of who your authority is? I'm going to answer it. It's God. It's me. It's the I am that I am. So we see, number one, we see the concerns presented. The question of ability, who am I? The question of authority, who is sending me? But secondly, this morning, Roman numeral 2, I want us to see the certainty promised. The certainty promised. We saw verse number 12, "And He said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth a people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." The certainty promised. By the way, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And verse number 6 says, "So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper." The certainty promise. Young people, this morning, If God has called you, He has certainly promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Because here's the truth this morning. You're going to go out, some of you young men, you're going to go out and plant a church in a city that you've never been to. You know very few people. You're going to have naysayers. You're going to have people that are going to try to throw a wet blanket on you and say, it can't be done in that city. It can't be done here. It can't be done in that state. And you're going to need to have the confidence to say, I don't care what they say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord has called me here. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is my helper. And so we see the certainty promised. And here in chapter 3, we see a number of things, a number of certainties here in chapter number 3. So let's look at these. First of all, letter A, we see the certainty of His presence. The certainty of His presence. Again, in verse number 12, what does He say? I will be. I will be with thee. The certainty of His presence. The certainty of His presence does a few things for us. First of all, it gives us courage. Secondly, it gives us confidence. The certainty of His presence. He says, you know what, Moses? Certainly I will be with thee. And you see, 40 years prior, Moses had tried to rush before God and put himself in a position of authority over his brethren. Now, 40 years later, God is going with him. He says, certainly I will be with thee. The certainty of His presence. Secondly, letter B, the certainty of His person. The certainty of His presence. But secondly, the certainty of His person. Again, in verses 14 and 15, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. The certainty of His person. The I am that I am. He says, I am. The I am that I am is sending you. And by the way, young people, that's not just any phrase and that's not just any person. That is the God in heaven saying that I'm going to be with you. That is the God in heaven saying that if I've called you to do something, and look, it's not going to be rose petals everywhere. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be lollipops and cotton candy all the time. But I will be with thee. Now, it's good to have individuals that come beside us and help us, is it not? That's encouraging and that's helpful. But young people, this morning, you'll have no better helper. You'll have no better encourager than the Lord Jesus Christ when you go do what He has called you to do. The certainty of His presence, but the certainty of His person. You see, many times we trust Him for the most important decision in our lives, the decision of salvation. But then we think we can take the reins on everything else. Lord, thank you for salvation. I thank you that you saved me. I thank you that you washed away my sin. I thank you that I'm not headed to hell. I thank you for Christ who died on that cross of Calvary and was buried and 3 days later rose again. God, I thank you for that, but I've got it now. He's still the same one that saved you. The same one that saved you is going to be the same one that sustains you. It's going to be the same one that goes with you. It's going to be the same one that helps you. It's going to be the same one that encourages you. It's going to be the same one that gives you the strength that you need to endure the trials and tribulations. It's going to be the same one that gives you the power to see people saved, to see the power to see people added to the church, to give you the power to do what He's called you to do, the certainty of His person. The I Am shows that He is self-existent, that He is self-sufficient. The I Am shows that He is eternal and that He is immutable. And by the way, the I Am shows that He never changes. And we live in a world and we live in a 21st century American Christianity that for some reason thinks God has changed. God has not changed. God is right here. He never moves. He said, I'll be the same today, I'll be the same yesterday, and I'll be the same tomorrow. And I never choose. And we move away from it a little bit. We say, well, a little sin is okay, and a little bit closer to the world is okay. And God says, I'm still right here. Why are you moving? God says, I never change. Why are you moving away from me? And we need to be right there. The best place, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will, right there where He is. Because peace is not found in the absence of trouble. It's found in the presence of God. You may have storms all around you, but if you're in the center of God's will, in His presence, there's peace. And there's peace in His presence. The certainty of His presence, I will be. The certainty of His person, I am. Number three, letter C, the certainty of His power, I can. The certainty of His presence, I will be. The certainty of His person, I am. The certainty of His power, I can. In Psalm 78, the Israelites foolishly asked the question, can God? Now, by the way, I say foolishly ask, we do the same thing. Can God? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Well, we know the answer to that, yes. Notice what he says here in verse number 16. The certainty of his power, I can. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. There's His compassion. He saw their affliction. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. The certainty of his power. You know what God says? He says, I can. And not only I can, but I will. So many times we rest in our own power. Let me say that, young folks, when you go out to start that church, when you go out and work in evangelism, do the work of an evangelist, you go out and go to the mission field, you will absolutely kill yourself if you do everything in the flesh. You'll kill yourself. You will be ready to quit. You'll be ready to hang it up. Because God did not call you to do everything yourself. The labor, yes. The parts that we have to do with our body, the going out and soul winning, the commission that He's given us, all of those things, the labor. If you start a church, you're going to paint the building, you're going to do all the things, you're going to be the janitor, you're going to be everything, not just the pastor, you're going to be everything for those first few years. But He doesn't ask you to do everything in your own strength. He asks us to do it in His power. The certainty of His power. I can and I will. By the way, in Matthew 28, when He gives us the Great Commission, what does He say in verse 18? All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. And then He says in verse 20, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And look, if He has all power and He has commissioned you to go, don't you think He's going to provide that power for you? The certainty of His power, the certainty of His presence. I will be with thee, Moses. The certainty of His person. Who are you going to say that has sent you? I am. Certainty of His power. I can. Number four, letter D, the certainty of His provision. The certainty of His provision. He says, I give. Notice verse number 21. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. You see, there were concerns presented. Moses said, God, I have some questions. I have concerns. What about my ability? I'm nothing. Who am I? Lord, I have some concerns. Who am I going to say has sent me? What is my authority? He says, I am that I am. And then after the concerns are presented, the certainty is promised. Certainty of my presence, I will be with thee. The certainty of my person, I am, that I am. I have all authority. A young person this morning, you're not being sent out by a novice. You're not being sent out with one that has little power. You're being sent out by the Almighty. You're being sent out by the All-Powerful. You're being sent out by someone who has the authority, not just some authority, the authority. That in all things, Colossians 1:18 says, that in all things He might have the preeminence. You're being sent out by the one who has all authority. The certainty of His power, I can. The certainty of His provision, I give. And then lastly, number 5, letter E, the certainty of His promise, I have. The certainty of His promise. Would you look back at verse number 12? And He says, certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth a people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Hey Moses, when you bring those individuals out of Egypt and when y'all have come out with a mighty hand and a great hand, He said, I'm going to give you a token of my promise. And I'm going to give you a token that I am the one that has sent you. You are going to worship on this mountain. The certainty of His promise I have. The book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, we see that come to fruition where He's worshiping there on that very same mountain from whence God called Him from. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 10, note that if you're taking notes this morning, note that reference. He fulfilled His promise. And young person this morning, and you know this, I'm not telling you anything new, but God fulfills every promise that He's ever given. He will fulfill every promise that has ever been given. There are some that are still waiting to be fulfilled, but He is not slack. As the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, concerning His promises, He is long-suffering. He will fulfill His promises. Lord, You've called me here. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bill. Trust Him. Because you can trust the certainty of His provision. I give. I give. You can trust my provision. Lord, I don't know where this is going to come from. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work out. So many times, and we've all done it, we try to manipulate, don't we? Well, maybe if I work this out, that'll happen. If I work this out, this will happen. And we try to manipulate that. God says, just trust me. We see the concerns presented. The question of authority, the question of ability. Who am I? Who is sending me? And God answers the question. And we see the certainty promised. And I want you to see, lastly, Roman numeral 3. I want us to see the confidence practiced. The confidence practiced. Now, it took Moses quite some time, didn't it? We're skipping a lot, but even down through chapter number 4, Moses still has doubts. Moses still says, Lord, I'm still not sure. He said, Lord, what about my mouth? Lord, I can't speak. And Lord said, well, I'll send Aaron with you. Aaron can speak and I'll send him with you. And he still doubted. And finally, even to the point where the Lord became very angry with Moses. But there finally came a point where Moses said, okay. Okay, well, I was telling a young man about the call on my life, and the Lord had to keep working and working in my life to finally get me to submit to His call on my life. And Moses is doing the very same thing. He's questioning, he's doubting, but there comes a point, God is promising, He's promising. He's saying, look, Moses, I'm giving you my certainty. That Moses finally said, okay, I'm going to trust. And he went and did exactly what God called him to do. Look at verse number 29 of chapter 4, if you would. Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 29. Actually, let's back up just a couple, if we could. Verse number 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. Moses, can you imagine that reunion there? It's not the message this morning, but what a sweet reunion between two brothers there. And the fact that God had sent someone to help Moses, and God was already proving Himself strong in Moses, in the life of Moses right there by sending him a mouthpiece, someone to speak for him. Verse number 28, and Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which He had commanded him. Verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. Hey, would you go back to chapter 2, verse number 18? Hey, Lord, when I go, who am I going to tell them has sent me? Lord, when I go, they're not going to believe me. Down in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. In chapter 3, verse number 18, and they shall hearken to thy voice. Chapter 4, verse 31, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. The confidence practiced. Two things here quickly, very simple. Letter A, Moses went and the people worshiped. Moses went and the people worshiped. Young people this morning, God or you may have some concerns regarding the call that God has upon your life. And you, by the way, I believe God desires for you to present those to Him. Lord, who am I? Well, you're nothing, but you are my called servant. Who are you? I am your authority. I am that I am. I'm the Lord Jesus Christ who died, who suffered, who bled on the cross of Calvary for you. And if I can do that for you, then I can sustain you also. So there may be some questions, some concerns that you're going to present. But all throughout the Scripture, the certainties are promised. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And He promises His presence. He promises His power. He promises His provision. He promises who He is, His person. He promises His promise. And then it comes to you. Will you believe Him? Will you trust Him? And then will you confidently go practice, go put into place what He has called you to do? And Moses and Aaron, chapter 4, verse 29, went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Let me ask you, did everything just go smoothly right after that? No, they came before Pharaoh. Told him, hey, let my people go. The God of our fathers, Jehovah, has called me. Jehovah has sent me. And what did Pharaoh say? Who is Jehovah? Who is Jehovah? By the way, Jehovah showed him who Jehovah was, didn't he? Who is Jehovah? Oh, it wasn't all smooth when he first went. It wasn't all smooth sailing. Everything just didn't fall into place. However, everything did happen exactly the way God said it would. And everything that God promised happened. Moses and Aaron went. And because of that, verse 31, the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that He had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. The confidence practiced. Moses and Aaron went. And the people worshiped. You know what this world, you know what this country is waiting for? They're waiting for some young people to go. You know what God is waiting for? He's waiting for some young people to fulfill the call and the commission that He has placed upon their lives. And when they go, is everything going to be smooth sailing? Not necessarily. Not all the time. However, His promises go with us. And there are some people waiting for us to go, to went, to go, so that they can believe and so that they can worship. Young person this morning, have confidence that He will certainly be with thee. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You so much for the promises that You give us in Your Word. And Father, I pray that there would be some young people this morning. Father, they've already made the commitment. They're here. They're following through what they believe is Your call upon their lives. Father, they are here studying for the ministry. And so, Father, even in a small part, they have already taken that step of faith to follow You in the call that you've placed upon their lives. But Father, there may be some young people here this morning, some young men who are questioning, some young men, some young ladies who are questioning maybe how you're going to provide and maybe how you're going to lead and how you're going to guide. And Father, I just pray this morning that once again, afresh and anew, they would just commit the call that you've placed upon their lives. They would commit it to you once again this morning. And they would say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't see the end from the beginning. I don't see the Red Sea. I don't see the Red Sea opening. I don't even see the night of the Passover yet. I don't even see us getting out of Egypt yet. I don't even see the Red Sea yet. I don't see any of that, but Father, I know that you do. And you see the end from the beginning, and I'm just going to trust you this morning. I'm going to have confidence in your promises. And Lord, I would pray there would be some young folks that would even again this morning make that decision. Father, we love you. Love your word. We thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name.